We're also talking about organ donation this morning. As you've just heard, one in three people with cystic fibrosis, whose condition has got so bad they need a lung transplant, will die whilst on the waiting list. 10,000 people in the UK currently live with cystic fibrosis. At present in the UK, there's no national system for giving donor lungs to the most urgent patients, something the Cystic Fibrosis Trust say is a scandal. Now, we heard from Shelley Filomeno, whose best friend Claire Cruikshank died last April whilst waiting for a lung transplant. Well, I'm now joined by Claire's mum, Anne Rowcliffe. Anne, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
We know, sadly, that your daughter died, but as Shelley said, it took her quite a while to realise that she needed a transplant, really.
I think it's difficult to come to terms with that. I mean, she knew her health was declining, but she was adjusting her goalposts to what was normal for her without realising how poorly she was.
Yeah.
But she lived desperately thinking that she would get a transplant, and she was very optimistic about that option.
And what sort of life was it for Claire?
Oh, she when she was well enough, she was life and soul, very happy and very positive. She was the sort of person that would light up a room when she came into it. But gradually, over the last 2 years, she was less able to do things, which meant that she felt she was letting people down when she couldn't go out and make, she'd made arrangements and she had to cancel. So she was increasingly, when she was at home, I was having to go every day and help her. Just things like making drinks would tire her out. And she spent a great deal of that last time. This time last year, she'd been in hospital since January until she died in the April. So her style of life had changed dramatically, and she wasn't able to fulfil what, you know, we expect of life. You know, just getting to the bathroom was difficult, things like that.
And nobody wants to outlive their children, do they?
No. But it's one of those, when you have a child with a life-limiting illness, it's always in the back of your mind that one day this might happen.
And the thing is as well, that so many people out there could donate, couldn't they? How does that make you feel? The fact that, you know, there were lungs out there, there are lungs out there that could have helped your daughter survive.
Yes, there are. But I think, you know, like Shelley said, that she's always been on the list, and so have loads of people that we know. But I think the difficulty is that when family are faced with a loss, and to be able to donate organs such as lungs, liver, in kidneys, heart, you have to die under particular circumstances, and that's not always the case. So that limits the amount of organs that are available. Mm. And then families, understandably, because they've suffered a traumatic loss, then I think they just want their relatives to be left in peace, and they find that difficult to make that.
It's a very difficult subject, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, you know. But I was able to talk with Claire about giving her corneas, because although she, until the very last few days, she always thought that call would come. I said to her, look, Claire, if it doesn't happen for you, would you be okay donating your corneas? That's the only thing you can do because your infections are too high. And she said yes. So I knew that I'd got her agreement, so that that kept me going, really. But when the transplant people ring you up, there are a lot of questions, you know, at a time that you just really want to go home.
Yeah. You've got many, many more important things to think about, I suppose.
Yes,
time,
but it was because I knew that's what she wanted. It's the last thing that I could do for her. Mm. But I do agree it's difficult for relatives. And I think the problem is that in this country, we're very afraid to talk about people dying. And it's even harder when you know that your loved one's about to die. So I would say that people need to talk, you know. Just say, I've put down that I want to be a donor. I know you're going to be upset if it happens that I die, but please respect my wishes. And that's more, I think, important. It's what if relatives on side.
Yeah, I mean, what if we move to this opt-out system where it was up to the individual to opt out? And if not, there'd be no calls, no nothing, you know.
Yeah, I personally agree with that, but I did discuss it with Claire and she didn't, for some reason, think that was a good idea. We're all different in what we think, but yes, I agree, because an acquired, you know, you're on the list unless you say no. That cuts out all that problem with the doctors having to ask family members. It's a given then, isn't it? And I think, as far as I can find out, about 10% of families say no when it comes down to it.
Yeah, we're nearing the anniversary now, aren't we, of Claire's sad death. How do you plan to mark it?
Okay, I've decided that I could be miserable all day, but that wasn't what Claire wanted of me. She, you know, wanted me to be happy and what have you. So I thought on the 15th of April, that was the day she died, she gave a fantastic gift to people, to young adults. And so to mark her passing, I was going to go and spend the day doing random acts of kindness so that I'm remembering the gift she made. So I thought that I would ask Claire's family and friends if they wanted to join me in their own way, not expensive things, but little things like making a cup of tea for some workmen or helping a neighbour that you know is struggling or make some chocolate crispies that don't cost a lot of money, take them into work and just just give the publicity and saying this is in memory of Claire who gave the gift of, you know, improved sight to two people.